Okay, we're beginning here about a third of the way down on Lamed Gimel and Aleph by the two dots. Chizra. The Gemara here is discussing a chizra, which Rashi says is a piece of wood that is sharp on the end and it can be used as a spit. And others translate it as a bamboo cane that has the ability to be placed into the meat and to roast the meat on it. Rav Nachman Asar. Rav Nachman says you may not use it for this purpose. Rav Sheshet Shari. On the other hand, Rav Sheshet says it's mutar. Gemara says here, biritiva, if it's moist, kuliyama lo plige dasur. Everybody agrees that it's problematic. That is because, since it's not ra'oi to be metaltelet at all, it's moksa, because it's not useful. Most wood is utilized for firewood. Over here, since the wood is moist, it's not good for firewood. So since it's not good for firewood, we're not going to allow you to utilize it for even something else, like a spit. So therefore, everybody agrees there that it's a sur. Ki plige, where do they argue, biyaveshta, when it's dried out? Mandasar, Rav Nachman, who says it's a sur, amalacha, lo nitnu, etzim, elasaka. The only thing that you're allowed to use etzim for is firewood. That's their primary and unique utility that they have. That's to be used as firewood. Otherwise, they're considered to be mokse, or you can't utilize them for anything else. Mandashori, Rav Sheshet, who says it's mutar, amalacha, mali litzlot bo, mali litzlot vigachalto. What's the difference between roasting with it or roasting with its coal? Meaning that here you're utilizing in the cooking process. So whether you burn the wood and it turns into a coal and that's used to heat and to cook or roast the animal, whether you put it into the animal as a spit, either way, you're utilizing it in the same manner, which is to roast the meat. So here it's a nuanced difference in the utilization of the wood. You're using both of them to roast the animal, one as the firewood and one as the spit for the animal, and therefore it's permissible. Ikidamre, there others have it this way, which is biyabeshta kuliyama lo plige deshori. Everybody agrees when it's dry that it's mutar. Since you can use it for firewood, you can also use it for the spit, similar to the reasoning that we just said before in Rav Sheshet. Ki plige, where they argue is biritifta, is when you're talking about a moist one. Mandasar, dolo chazil asaka. Rav Nachman says it's asur is because it can't be utilized for firewood. Therefore, it's moksen, you can't use it as a spit. Uman deshari, Rav Sheshet, who says it's mutar, amalacha. Ha chazil hesek gadol. Moist wood can be used once you have a large pyre. Sure, in a small fire or a small oven, you can't put in the moist wood because it doesn't burn easily. But once you have a large pyre or a large fire going, then you can even put in moist wood and it will act as fuel because the fire's strength will knock out the moisture and allow that wood to be consumed as fuel. The hilchata, the locha is, yveshta shari, that if it's dried out, then you get mutar, you can utilize it. Retifta asur, but if it's moist, one may not use it. Dorash Rava. Rava gave a drasha. Isha lo tikanes ledir ha'etzim litol mehen ud. A woman may not go into the firewood shed in order to take out a poker. V'ud shenishbar, and a poker that broke, asur le'sekol b'yom tov. One may not put that into the fire, may not use that as firewood on yom tov. So now the Gemara says, lefi, shemesikin b'kelim, vein mesikin b'shivrei kelim, because one can use as firewood, kelim, utensils that are mutar to carry around and to utilize, you can use them as firewood. But you cannot use shards of utensils because there's a problem of mukset. When you came in, they were a full kli into Yom Tov. Now they broke. Now you have shards of the pottery and you can't now utilize them for firewood because that wasn't in existence when you came into Yom Tov. That's not what you had in mind for this kli coming into Yom Tov. And it wasn't in a world of utility for you. Now, Gemara says, if that's the case, the Memro, the Rova, Rabbi Yehuda, Sfirle. That means that Rova holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that holds a Muktza, the Idle Muktza. V'hamar le Rova the Shem, eh? Didn't Rova tell his servant, we just had this in the Gemara, Tveli bar avazo ushte me'e l'shunra. He said, why don't you roast me up a duck and throw the innards to the cat? Now, throwing the innards to the cat is a problem because that seems to indicate that the innards of the cat are not Muktza. First of all, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't touch them, because they're completely useless and you can't touch them at all. In addition to that, if it was Muchan Adam, since it was a food item for man coming into Yom Tov, then it's not permissible now to give it to an animal. Muchan Adam lovi Muchan la behema, and therefore it remains Muksa. So it says, Hatam kevin demas achi me'etmo, since they were already rotting, da'ate ilave. He has in mind to give them to the animal. So now what that means exactly about it being problematic from the day before. So Rashi says, If he leaves them over for tomorrow, then they would definitely go bad. So he has to utilize them today. And knowing that he's going to roast the duck, then for sure he's going to utilize these to give to the animal. He has in mind to give it to the animal because he won't be able to keep them the additional day to utilize them. And since he doesn't need them today, for sure that's what he had in mind beforehand. Tosafot, on the other hand, has a slightly different nuanced view of that, which is that they were already rotting beforehand. And since they were already rotting beforehand, or they already rot, and therefore they are chazila behema, and there's no problem of mukso whatsoever. Now, there's an interesting Rashi over here, in which Rashi discusses the entirety of our Gemara, from the previous Mishnah all the way through till here, and he mentions that all the opinions here are basically not the halacha. And that is because this halacha is according to the one who holds a mukso, who is Rabbi Yehuda. But then he says, Aval Anan, Rashi says that we, who hold like Rabbi Shimon, we hold like Rabbi Shimon, ben b'mukse, and ben b'davar shenu mitkaven, in unintentional items. So since we hold like Rabbi Shimon by mukse, all these items here that were restricted because of mukse are not meaningful. So therefore, we paskin, not like this Gemara. That's number one. Number two is, in yesterday's daf, we spoke about making an ohel arai, when you put up the two barrels and you cook something in between them. Or you put up two bricks and you put something in between them, barrels, and you put another barrel on top of them. All those cases where you made an OLRI, those were davar sheino mitkaven. You had no intention to make an OL. It just looks like an OL, and it happens while you're doing this that it looks like you made an OL. But it's a davar sheino mitkaven. It's unintentional. Since it's unintentional, we have a machloket, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda believes unintentional davar sheino mitkaven is asur, whereas Rabbi Shimon believes davar sheino mitkaven is mutar. So Rashi says, this whole Gemara of Dover Arshenu Mitkavein was according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why they were Osir, all those cases of Olarai. In addition, the case here with the spit, and the case here with Rova, he says as well, is all according to Shita, to Rabbi Yehuda. That Rabbi Yehuda says that there is Mukse, and because there is Mukse, they paskin this way. All these Amoraim who saw there was a problem of Mukse are according to Rabbi Yehuda. But since we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, none of these are the halacha for us. And he says the reason is because all of these Amoraim were Talmidim of Rav. And we know in the Gemara that Rav holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is Mukse. That's the way Rashi sets up this entire Gemara. One by one, there's a number of Tosafot here. He says that Rashi is incorrect about this. How could it be that the Gemara is not the Halacha? We have a case here where it says by the spit, the Hilchata, the Halacha is that you're allowed to use the dry one and not allowed to use the moist one. Well, that Halacha has no meaning according to Rabbi Shimon. Why would the Gemara have a conclusion of a Hilchata and it's not the Halacha? And same thing with Dorish Rova. So now the Gemara is going to turn out that you have a drasha from Rova about a din, and that din is not halacha, because that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Tosafot disagrees with each of these cases, and says that even Rabbi Shimon would agree there is mukso over here. You can see that, first of all, in the Tosafot Be'ilchata, he says, V'dochak hu lumar, to Rabbi Shimon Palig, amai de pasuk ha-shas. How could it be that Rabbi Shimon argues on the halacha psuka of the shas, Be'ilchata. V'ish lumar, da'filu Rabbi Shimon. Even Rabbi Shimon will agree here that there is mukso. Because he believes you can use wood for whatever you want. It doesn't just have to be for firewood, you can use it for whatever you want. That has to be something that is ra'ui, to be used for firewood. So the difference between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is that Rabbi Shimon believes as long as it's good for firewood, you can use it for whatever you want. Rabbi Yehuda says since it's good for firewood, that's the only thing that you can utilize it for. But if it's not good for firewood, both of them agree that it's moksa. And therefore, that's the conclusion of the Gemara. B'yabeshta, the dry one you can use, because that's ro'ui lahasaka. So then, both according to Rabbi Yehuda, at least according to Rabbi Sheshet, it's fine. And according to Rabbi Shimon, for sure, it's fine. Then, with the case of Ritifta, when it's moist, even Rabbi Shimon agrees, that's not ro'ui lahasaka. That's not ro'ui to be used as firewood. Therefore, it's moksa, and you can't utilize it for other things. So that's how Tosafot fits Rabbi Shimon into this part of the Gemara. And again, by Dorash Rova, Tosafot says again, v'dokachu lomar dashash kaima de loke ilchata. Again, that the Gemara has a psak here that's against the halacha. Elavade dafil Rabbi Shimon mode dasur. Rabbi Shimon agrees over here that it's a sur. Mishum dahavi kitikune mono. Because it's like fixing a kli. And since it's like tukune mono, or looks like tukune mono, even Rabbi Shimon will agree that there's a problem here. Whether it's mukso or stirat kli, binyan kli, whatever the problem is. But Tosafot wants to say that Rabbi Shimon would agree with this. The last thing Tosafot says, it's at the end of the Tosafot from the previous Amud. There, Tosafot says about this Dover Sheinu Mitkavein, he completely disagrees with Rashi, and he says it has nothing to do with Dover Sheinu Mitkavein. Because even Rabbi Shimon will agree over here that it's Asur. Because when Rabbi Shimon says Dover Sheinu Mitkavein is Mutar, that's when you do something, She'ain mitkaven lasoto. You're doing something where you have no intent for the action to take place. Over here, you have intent for the action. You're intending to put these items in this structure. Yes, you're not mitkaven for an ohel, but you're definitely mitkaven to put them in this structure. And that's not called dovar she'enu mitkaven. Here you intend to do what you're doing. And he says, therefore, even according to Rabbi Shimon, it will not go under the dispensation of dovar she'enu mitkaven. So Tosafot, as opposed to Rashi, believes that Rabbi Shimon agrees with all of these, and therefore all of these items are the halacha, even according to Rabbi Shimon, or even according to the poskim that say that we hold like Rabbi Shimon, which is most of the Rishonim believe that we hold like Rabbi Shimon. The only argument amongst the Rishonim is, where does Rabbi Shimon think there's muksa? I mean that they all pass it and we hold like Rabbi Shimon, there is no muksa, but then everything is muksa because Rabbi Shimon agrees in all these cases that there is muksa. So that's the way, if you look in the Beit Yosef, in the Mishnah Berurah, when he discusses in their introduction to Siman Shinchet by Muksa, they both discuss this issue about what exactly is the Psak and the background to that Psak. Okay, now we move on to the next Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Notala Adam Kesam, Mishnah Lefanav. Person can take a Kesam, a small splinter, a piece of wood, a toothpick in essence, Lachzot Bo Shinav, in order to clear out his teeth from the meat that's stuck between him. Umegavev min achatzer, and he can collect the wood from the chatzer, umadlik. He can light that, he can use that as his firewood. Shekol mashi b'chatzer mukhan hu. Because anything found in the chatzer is considered to be mukhan, is considered to be within your world, within your purview of Yom Tov. So if you find it there, then we assume that your intention was to utilize it, because your courtyard is a part of your living quarters, and if you have wood there, then you intend to use that for firewood. B'chamim omrim, chamim say megavev min lishfanav. He can gather what's in front of him, umadlik, and that he can use for firewood. Ve'ein motzim et ha'ur lo min ha'itzim, ve'lo min ha'avanim, ve'lo min ha'afar. Person cannot create fire, not from wood, not from stones, not from the ground, from dirt. Ve'lo min ha'ra'afim, the Bach and Rabbi Kiva Eger take this out of the Girsah. Ve'lo min ha'mayim, and not from water. Ve'ein melabnim et ha'ra'afim, let's look at them. You can't heat up tiles in order to use them to cook on, right? So that's the last piece of the Mishnah, which we'll get to at the tail end of today's daf. The other items are, you cannot be, and the Gemara will discuss it again at the end of today's daf, you can't be molid esh. You can't create fire from nothing. So all of these items that are mentioned in the Mishnah are items that are used to create fire. So whether it's rubbing the sticks together, whether it's using a flintstone to create a fire, whether it's using the ground, which in some places has properties that allow you to create a fire by rubbing up against it. When you dig into it and there's stones or something there, you can create fire, it sparks, and that creates the fire. And minamayim, from water. Now, water is very difficult because it's very hard to create fire from water. Rashi over here quotes from a piyut, which is wrong. That's not the right girsa here. But he quotes it from the Sefer Yotzer. It probably should be Sefer Yitziah. She said, "Echad migone Lombardia." So, for a person from Lombardia, who he says was a doctor in Lombardia, he, in his book, explains what this Mishnah means. And he says that the glass utensil had water in it, and it was used to refract the light and to concentrate the light. I would say it's the equivalent of taking a magnifying glass. So if you take a magnifying glass and then you concentrate the light of the sun onto an object, it can burst into flames. So the same thing over here. He says that they used this glass full of water, and they got it either very hot, and then when you touched it, things burst into flames, or for some reason that concentrated the power of the sun, and by concentrating the power of the sun, it caused a fire. So that's what the minamayim means over here. And lo minariafim, they say that doesn't belong in the girsa, because that's the latter half of the Mishnah, so we won't discuss that case. The earlier part of the Mishnah is dealing with the problems of taking wood. Number one is, Rashi says that the Gemara here is, the Mishnah here is lav dafka. That you can take a toothpick from the wood that's there is not just milafanav, it means for anything in the chatzer. Because that's the next statement of Rabbi Eliezer. The next statement of Rabbi Eliezer is you can pick up all the wood in the chatzer is considered to be mukhan. And therefore, the only reason it says here milafanav is because the chachamim disagree about that. But as far as taking the toothpick, you can take it from any wood that is mukhan. And in addition to that, Rabbi Eliezer says that you can gather the wood from your chatzer, because anything in your courtyard is considered to be mukhan de gabei Shabbat. Then Rashi claims the Chachamim argue on both of those points. Number one is, the Chachamim say, migavev milishvanav. He can only take the wood that is right proximate to him, right in front of him. And number two is he cannot be chotzeitz shinab. He can't use the wood in order to, as a toothpick, to clean out his teeth. So he argues on both, the Chachamim argue on both of those points of Rabbi Eliezer. You can see that in Rashi. Rashi says, they argue on these two points. Tosafot disagrees and says that he doesn't think that's the correct interpretation. So number one is, he says that when Rashi says over here that lav dacha milifanav, that Rabbi Eliezer over here who says that you can take the wood from the entire courtyard, and then he says you can use a toothpick, Rashi says doesn't mean you can use a toothpick just from what's in front of you, but you can use it from the entire courtyard. Tosafot says he doesn't think that is right, because it sounds like dafka, that the Gemara in other places sounds like our Mishnah is dafka, and only milifanav can you take it. And therefore he says, v'yishlomar, deinochanami, devadei dafka amar, our Mishnah is dafka, and you can only take a toothpick from the wood that's in front of him. Then what do you do with the next line in the Mishnah, where Rabbi Eliezer says all the wood in the courtyard is ra'oi? So Tosafot says about that is, toothpick is an item that has to do with your specific location of where you sat to eat. So therefore, since the chatzer, yeah, that's your world. That's your whole world for getting the wood for items that you utilize in Yom Tov. But as far as eating and items that are directly correlated with the meal, you know where you're going to eat, then you have to prepare those. So the toothpick you have to have ready, or you have to have it near or proximate to the table or the place, location that you're going to eat. And therefore, he believes that Rabbi Eliezer means dafka milifanav. You can only take it from right in front of him. And as Tosafot says, by esh, by fire, you don't know where you're going to make it. Sometimes you do make it, sometimes you don't make it. So you didn't have anticipation, and therefore we can't demand of him to have done it ahead of time. Then the Chachamim Omrim, he says again over here, v'kash shel peirusho. He argues on Rashi again here, where Rashi says the Chachamim argue on both points of Rabbi Eliezer. He says, no. He says, the Chachamim sirilo d'lo chilchato. Because then it turns out the Chachamim are not the alocha, because they believe that you can't take the toothpick, and you can't take the wood from the courtyard. So he says, "Lachen yirli the time of the rabbanon, the kach asur lachzot shinav. Why can't you use the toothpick? His gezeira mishum shema yiktom. It's going to be further on in the Gemara. It's a problem that he might cut it or break the piece off, and that'll be an isur min haTorah. And because of that, they didn't permit you to do it. So he agrees in the end that they argue on both points, but for a different reason. Rashi says over here, the retarte pelige. Number one is they argue on the fact of whether you can take your toothpick from anywhere. The Chachamim say, no, you can't. You can't take a toothpick. And number two is, can you take all the wood from the entire chatzer? And the Chachamim say, you can only take me lifanav. So what Rashi suggests over here is that, number one, according to the Chachamim, that you cannot take a kesam at all, period. And number two is, with threads to halok or hasoka, then you can't take it from the entire courtyard, just what's in front of you. And retarte pluge. Tosafot in the end agrees about the difference in wood. But with regards to the toothpick, he says they're not arguing fundamentally with him about taking the toothpick, because he showed before that he believes that Rabbi Eliezer means you can only take the toothpick from right in front of you. And if the Chachamim agree you can take from the wood in front of you, why can't you use a toothpick? So he says that's like the further on the Gemara, there's a gezeira or a takana at Chachamim not to take it because of the possibility of violating a din deoraita. So we'll see that in a second, but he says, yes, they don't fundamentally argue with the Chachamim, with Rabbi Eliezer, but they have a gezeira that says that they won't allow you to take the toothpick. Now, Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Ochlei beima, feed for animals, fodder, ain behem mishum tukim kli. If you cut them up, if you do some things with them, and you break them up or use them as a toothpick, none of that stuff is problematic, because it's ochel beima. It's considered to be ochel, and therefore, there's no problem of tikun kli, and you can cut them, you can snap them, you can cut it up, you can do whatever you want with it, including making a toothpick from it. So, Eitabe Rav Kahana, the Rav Yehuda, Rav Kahana challenged Rav Yehuda's position. It says here, we have a Tosefta, Metaltalin Atzei Bisamim Lariach Ben. You're allowed to carry around the wood or solid items that have a smell to them, have a spice wood, basically. Ulanit Bem HaCholet, and to fan the Cholet with them, but here it means to revive the Cholet with them. Umololo, you can rub them between your fingers, umeriachbo, and then smell them, so that increases the intensity of the smell when you rub between your fingers. Velo yiktemeno lariachbo, but you may not cut it or snap it off in order to smell it. Ve'im kitamo, but if you do snap it, patur aval asur. Then it is patur aval asur, which means it's asur mi derabanan. Lachzotz boshinav, in order to use it as a toothpick, lo yiktemeno, you can't cut it. Ve'im kitamo, and if you do cut it, chayav chatat. Then your chayav chatat, it's osur mi deoraita to do that. So now, this Tosefta makes no distinction between what the wood is, or where the wood came from, whether it's ochel of behema, whether it's human ochel, whether it's vasaka, makes no distinction. And yet it says here, if you cut it to make it a toothpick, you're chayav chatat. And Rabbi Yehuda just told us, Rabbi Yehuda said, oh, you can take ochel behema, make it into a toothpick, and you won't have any problem. It's mutter the gamre. So here you have like polar opposites. So amalei, so we're going to read it now based on the girsa of Rashi currently, which is, hashto patur lavasur kakashali. He said, had you just brought a brayta that said it was also midrash banan, you already had a problem for me, meaning it would have been a problem for me. Chayav chatat, mi boy? Now I have a brayta that says I'm chayav chatat? That's like the polar opposite of my position. Ella, now this is the continuation of the statement of Rav Yehuda then, kitanya ahi, that brayta is talking about bikashin. That's talking about hardwood. Kashin, b'nei m'nila, lila, nino? Wait, if it's hardwood, then what does rubbing it between your fingers do? My says, hachsure mechasro. The brayta has missing words or transitional words in it. V'halchiktani, this is what it means. Malulo umeriach bo. You can rub it between your fingers and smell it. Kotmo umeriach bo. You can break it and smell it. Bamed v'arimarumurim. When is that true? Berakin. That's with soft items. Aval b'kashim, when it comes to hard items, lo yiktamenu. Then you may not cut it. V'im kitamo. And if you do, patur avalasur. Then it's patur avalasur. If you want to use it as a toothpick for your teeth, you shouldn't do that. Then you're chayav chatat. So all he did was, by creating that transition between the soft woods and the hard woods, he basically creates a distinction then, where you can say that the Mishnah, or the Tosefta, when it said that there's a problematic side to breaking them and making them into toothpicks, that's talking about those hard woods. But the first part of the Braita that's talking about soft woods, doesn't have that issue, and that's what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about the ochel beima, I'm talking about softer items, and therefore it's permissible to make them into toothpicks. Mara says now Tosafot over here says that he doesn't think that that's the right reading of the Gemara, because it seems strange that Rabbi Yehuda would respond in such a manner. He just brought a braita, Tosefta, and Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, well, that's not a little question, that's even a big question. Why would he say that? Why wouldn't he address the issue? So Tosafot says that what Rabbi Yehuda is saying to him is this. Amalei, he says to Rav Kahana, if you had brought me patul arva asur, that would have been problematic. Now that you brought me a braita that says, also the gamrei, also me the oraita, it's clear that the braita is not correct. Meaning that there's a problem in this braita. This is a braita mishabeshta. This is a problematic braita, and the integrity of the braita is questioned now because of what it says. Then we add in another amalei, which is Rav Kahana, responding to Rabbi Yehuda and says, you don't have to do that. Right? Because we can differentiate between the braita and your statement. And that's the next stage of the Gemara is Ella. But instead of saying Ella, it's Amrle. Kitanya hi bekashin. Rav Kahana is helping Rav Yehuda and saying, no, don't say that the braita is problematic. Rather say that the braita is talking about kashim and you were talking about things that were softer. So those are two different ways to read the Gemara, according to Rashi and according to Tosafot. Now the Gemara continues and brings us Tani Chada Kotamo Umeriachbo. Now you can cut it, break it, and then smell it. Vetani Idoch. There's another bite that says Lo Yiktamenu Lariachbo. That you may not break it in order to smell it. So Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Chista Lokash. That's not a problem. Amar Rakin, Amar Kashin. The exact distinction that we just made before. You can't break it when it's a soft item. You cannot break it when it is a hard item. So you're permitted to do it when it's soft to break it to increase the intensity of the smell of the spices. But if it's a hardened wood already, then you can't do that. Now, the problem there will only be a problem with Rabbanan, as we saw in the Braita, but still, you're not permitted to do it. Now, Matki flo Rav Acha bar Yaakov b'kashin. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov raises an issue, even with hard wood. Amai lo, why can't you break it? Maishna mihaditnan. How is this different than the Mishnah in Shabbat and Daf Kuf Mem Vav that says, Shover Adam et achavit, person can cut open, smash open a cask in order to get to the dried figs that are inside of it. As long as he doesn't intend to make it into a kli. So you see here that you're allowed to do things that are mikalkel, that are destructive in nature, if they are purposeful here to get to the grugarot, to get to the figs to eat them. And in our case, his suggestion is by the wood, the spice wood as well, that it should be the same thing. When you break them, you're doing it to increase the intensity of the smell and to utilize them for that. So why can't you do this? You're not intending to make a kli, so why should it be a problem? Over there, then it goes there. Maybe you'll make it into a kli, even though that's a possibility. So why over here would you worry about it? Ve'od, in addition to that, Harova bar Ado, V'ravin bar Ado, so Rava and Ravin, the brothers, Damre Tarvayo, they both say, Ki avinem be Rav Yehuda, when we are in Rav Yehuda's house, Hava mefashach, ve'avlan alvata alvata. He used to take a twig or a branch that was already severed from before Yom Tov, and then he used to break off, for us, smaller branches or pieces of it, whether it sounds like aloe wood here, but he'd break off the smaller pieces for us to smell on Yom Tov. Ava gav, and that's despite the fact that chazyo, the katata, denarge, v'chatzine. Even though you could use that piece of wood as a handle for an axe or for a spade. By breaking them off, maybe you can classify or say that it was metakin kli, because now when he breaks off the smaller branches that break off of it, now it's a solid piece of wood that can be used as a handle. Nevertheless, he did it without any reservations. So why is that? According to you, when you're dealing with kashim, hard items, you're not allowed to break them at all. So you have now two instances where we're talking about items that don't seem to be problematic when it comes to this hard wood. It says, Lokasho, that's not a problem. Ha, Rabbi Eliezer, ha, Rabbanon. We have a difference in opinion when it comes to breaking wood between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon. Titanio. Here the Gemara explains that. We have a bright. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, no tell Adam, ki esam, milifan, shalafanav. This is similar to our Mishnah. Person can take a toothpick from the wood that's in front of him. Laktsots boshinav, in order to clean out his teeth. Promim armim, lo ito, element evush shobeima. The only thing you can take is out of the trough of the animal. Since it comes from the trough of the animal, it's food. And if it's food, it's muchan, the chol tzorech, whatever you need it to do, and therefore you can utilize it. Now, the shavin, they both agree, shelo yiketamenu, that you can't break it in order to make it into a toothpick. Ve'im kitamo, and if you do break it, lachtzot bo shinav, in order to clean out your teeth, v'liftoach bo delet, or to use it as a key or a pick for the door, bishogeg, bishabbat, chayav chatat, if you do it unintentionally on Shabbat, you're chayav chatat, Bimezid, if you do it intentionally, be Yom Tov, sofeget arbaim, then you get lashes, you get malkot. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer sees the problem here of breaking the wood in order to make it into a kli as a problem of kli deoraita. Since he sees that as a problem of kli deoraita, on Shabbat, you're going to be chayav chatat if you do this, and on Yom Tov, you're going to get malkot. Chamim omrim, echad zeh ve'echad zeh, doesn't matter whether it's Shabbat, doesn't matter if it's Yom Tov, eno elo mishum shvut. The Isurim here are only Isurim midrabanan. Doesn't matter whether it's Shabbat or Yom Tov, if you're breaking it, then it's not going to be an Isur de'oraita. It's only a problem of Isur de'rabanan, even if you do it, laktsot shinav, even if you do it to make into a toothpick. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer tekamar hotam chayav chatat. Rabbi Eliezer says, when you break it off to make it into a toothpick, you're chayav chatat, hocho patur aval asur. When you break it off in order to smell it, then it's an Isur de'rabanan. V'rabbanon, the Rabbanon here, Deka Amrei Hotam Potur V'Alasur, when you break it off to make it into a toothpick, it's only Asur Midrabbanan. Halcha, by the case of breaking it off for smelling, is Mutar L'Chatchila. That would be Mutar L'Gamrei. So the case that we brought from the case of Rabbi Yehuda with his students, as well as Rabbi Yehuda above, we can argue there that Rabbi Yehuda is talking in the position of the Rabbanon. In the position of the Rabbanon who believe that when it comes to breaking it off into making it a Kli, that's Asur Midrabbanan. When it comes to breaking it off to smell it, that's mutar legamre. So the cases where we're talking about smelling it, mutar legamre, we don't worry about it. In cases where you're breaking it off to be a kli, that's asur midrabanan. So the Gemara originally thought that we could draw a distinction in Rabbi Yehuda's position between hard and soft, but then we have the case example where it says even by hard items, Rabbi Yehuda was breaking it off. So the Gemara drops that distinction between hard and soft, which might be right with regards to Rabbi Lezer's opinion, and says, no, that Rabbi Yehuda holds like the Rabbonon. Rabbi Yehuda holds like the Rabbonon, that there's only an Isur the Rabbonon with a toothpick, and therefore by smelling it, whether it's soft, whether it's hard, it's mutar legamrei. On the other hand, the Braita that we saw before is in the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that when you make it into a toothpick, it's also deoraita. Then when you do a lariach, it's asur midrabanan. There you could question whether that's only true by Kashin, or is that even true by Rakin. It would seem that that's only true by Kashin for Rabbi Eliezer, but by Rakim he would agree, because then there's no tigun mana. And the reason the Chachamim believe that making the toothpick is only an Isur d'Rabbanan, as Rashi explains here, tiktima tikun chachar yadu, it's kalachar yad, it's not the normal way to make it. Below tikun ma'al yuhu, it's not a proper breaking or cutting or making of an kli. Tzalim kei mechatcho mechachagan misakin, unless you cut it with a knife and then you smooth it out, here you're doing a rough break that makes it into something that has utility for you, that's a metakin mana d'Rabbanan, because that's kalachar yad. And that's why they think that there's only an Isur Dirabanan over here. Tosafot over here discusses a very interesting issue, and he says why he was breaking off the stuff to smell it for Bisamim. And he gets into the issue, how come we don't have Bisamim on Motzei Shabbat that has a Yom Tov on the day after. On Motzei Shabbat, there's a Yom Tov, we don't smell Bissamim. So he says, well, what's the reason for smelling Bissamim on Motzei Shabbat? So he brings two possibilities about what it is. One is because on Motzei Shabbat, the Neshamot go back to Gehinom, and then the smell of Gehinom comes from the burning and the Neshamot there, and therefore we smell the Bissamim to offset that smell. That's one possibility. Or it brings the other possibility is because we're going to lose the Neshama Yetera. Since you're losing the Neshama Yetera, then we smell it in order to revive ourselves, just like we said before, that you bring the smell in order to revive the Cholet. So over here, Tosfot says it's one of those two reasons. He says, well, then we have a problem here. Because just like the Eshel Gehinom doesn't burn on Shabbat, it doesn't burn on Yom Tov. So that's why we don't smell it on a Motzei Shabbat, that's Yom Tov. If that's the case, then why don't we use the Bissamim on Motzei Yom Tov? Because then the fire of Gehinom would start at that time. Number two is, he says, Neshama Yetera. So why, when we go into Yom Tov, do you not smell Bissamim? Why? Because you think there's a Neshama Yetera on Yom Tov? Well, if that's the case, then once again, you have to ask the question. You should have to smell it on Motzei Yom Tov when you lose the Neshama Yetera then. So Tosfot says, I don't understand. Either you should do it on Motzei Shabbat, because Yom Tov doesn't have the same din as Shabbat. If it, for instance, you don't have any Neshama Yetera on Yom Tov, then you should smell it on Motzei Shabbat. Or, if it does have the same din as Shabbat, then we should do it on Motzei Yom Tov. In the end, Tosfot concludes that the reason we smell Bissamim is because of the Neshama Yetera. And even though there is no Neshama Yetera on Yom Tov, nevertheless, we don't make a bracha Bissamim on Yom Tov because of the Simchat Yom Tov and all the good delicacies that we have on Yom Tov. Since Yom Tov has this side of Simcha to it from all the great delicacies that we're going to eat and all the wonderful things that come on Yom Tov, therefore, we do not smell the Bissamim Motzei Shabbat going into Yom Tov, even though we lose the Neshama Yetera, is because we have a mitigating factor, another mitigating factor instead of the Bissamim, which is the Simchat Yom Tov. Now the Gemara challenges Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, says, "V'leitlei the Rabbi Eliezer haditnan." What does Rabbi Eliezer do with the Mishnah from Shabbat that says, "Shover adam et chavit le'chol mimena grugarot ubevash lo yitkaven lasod kli"? So over there, you're allowed to break it as long as you don't have kavanah to make it into a kli. So it's similar to our situation over here, where you're not actually making it a kli, and yet we say it's mutar lechatchila. We don't say that it's patur v'asur. There's an issur d'rabanan. So why over here does he have an issur d'rabanan to break it, to smell it? Because you might come to make it into a kli if you break it for a toothpick. Why don't we say the same thing by a kli? Over there, there's even more chance you'll make it into a kli, because that's the intent. You're opening it, and there's a good possibility that you could do it. That case in the Mishnah in Shabbat is talking about a case of mustaki. Rashi explains here, it's a barrel that was already broken, and then was re-pieced together, glued together with pitch, and now it's a barrel that's used, but it's not so structurally sound. Because of that, Rashi says, when you go to put a hole in it, or drill a hole, or make an opening in it, you're going to be very careful not to make a nice opening or a big opening that can be utilized because it's not strong enough to handle all your movement, your motion, or a big hole. And therefore, you're not going to do anything that's going to make a real petach. On the other hand, Tosafot says that's not the reason, but rather the reason here is that it's not called a kli anymore. It's so weak, the design of this is not called a kli. It doesn't have a shame kli on it. And that's why it's permissible over here. So they explain that Mishnah and Shabbat, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that Mishnah and Shabbat is a case of mustaki. And that mustaki is not a real kli, since it's not a real kli. That's why it's mutar lechatchila. Because even if you were to do it and be metaken kli, it wouldn't really be metaken kli, according to Tosafot, because it's not a kli. And according to Rashi, because you wouldn't risk doing that. You wouldn't risk doing it. It's such a weak item that if you did that, it would fall apart, and you wouldn't have it. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara. We'll come back at the end of the shiur today and discuss this. This is one of the pivotal issues with regards to opening up cans, bags, and other items on Shabbat. And Yom Tov comes out of this Gemara. Now the Gemara continues. Megavev min haChatzer. Rabbi Lezer says you can pick up any wood in the Chatzer to use for firewood. So Tarabanan, Megavev min haChatzer madlik, shekol ma shebechatzer muchanu. Anything that's in the Chatzer is considered muchan. Ubevach lo yaseh tziburim tziburim, as long as he doesn't make them into piles of wood. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon says, even if you make them into piles of wood, it's fine. But my kamiflige, what are they arguing about here? Mar savar mechsei deka mechanef lemachar uliyomachrina. When he's piling up the wood, it looks like he's doing this for not just today, he's piling it up, so he has it for today, tomorrow, the next day. Meaning that he's doing this in quantities that exceed his needs on Yom Tov, so therefore it's not permissible. Mar savar kederato mochachat alav. He's gonna cook. And people are going to see that he has the wood for his cooking with it. And therefore, it's not a problem. He's piling it up because now the next stages are going to burn it in the stove or in the oven in order to cook with it. And people will see that. So he's not making it into large mounds. He's not making it into piles to keep for long duration. It's just a convenience before he puts it into the stove in the oven. So that's the argument here. When you have the pile like that, what does it look like? According to the Tanakhama, looks like you're doing this for a longer duration, and that's problematic. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's fine because you're going to utilize it right after that. And people are going to see that you're utilizing it, and therefore they're not going to get that wrong impression that you're doing it for the long duration. In Motzim et Ur, we said you can't create fire from scratch on Yom Tov. My time of Mishum Tekam Molid be Yom Tov. Like we said before, it's a problem of a Molid Eish, Molad Nolad on Yom Tov, which is impermissible. What you can do is transfer fire on Yom Tov. You cannot create fire from scratch. Veim Elabnim et Arafim, you're not allowed to heat up the tiles on Yom Tov. My COVID. You might want to know, what's the problem with heating up the tiles? You heat it up and then you cook something on it. It's Okol Nefesh. Why should this be problematic? So Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, Hacha Birafim Chadashim. We're talking about new tiles. Askinan, that's the case here. And therefore, Mipnei Shetzarich Levadkan. Because he has to check them out. He's not sure that they will handle the heat. So he heats them up on Yom Tov. There's a chance that they're going to break because he hasn't tested them before. They don't have any Nisayon with these tiles. So there's a chance he's going to heat it up and it'll be for naught on Yom Tov. So it'll crack or it'll break and then you won't be able to utilize it. So we say only use tiles that were already used before, not brand new tiles, because you have a chance that they could break when you're testing them out. Vami lo, and some say it's a problem, mipnei shetzarich lachasman, that he has to fire them up to strengthen them or harden them. That this firing the first time when you heat them up in order to cook on them, that is also has a secondary purpose, not just for cooking on them, but also to harden the tiles. So the first time you put them into the heat, that hardens them, and that's like mitake and kali. So that we won't allow. Once you've used them already, then it's not a problem anymore. So again, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana's suggestion, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is that the Mishnah is talking about new tiles. The reason new tiles are problematic is either because they're not tested or because you're doing something that's mitake and kali, you're hardening them, and that's the issue here. Right, that finishes up the Gemara. Now we want to discuss the issue of opening up packages. Opening up packages has to do with a number of Gemarot, some of which we've seen here in Beitza. One of those is that you're allowed to cut a string or a knot or a cover from a utensil, from a kli. So anything that has a string around it or has some sort of encasement that is tied around it, you can cut that and open it up. And we saw that already in the Gemara in Beitza. The more difficult problem comes up when there's nothing like that on the kli, and now you need to open it up. So that manifests itself in different ways. For instance, you have cans, you have bags, and you also have bottles, all different types of items. In addition to that, you have packages that are utilized in different ways. Some packages, you open them up, and as soon as you open them up, you discard them. Other packages, you open them up, you eat the item in it, and then you toss it away, the package. Other items you eat in a packaging, and then you keep the packaging afterwards. You store the item in the package, or you do something with the package. All these have implications in terms of the halacha. Now, the halacha revolves around two different things. One is the Mishnah in Shabbat. The Mishnah in Shabbat that tells us that you're allowed to slice open the top of the cask or the barrel in order to serve the wine, as long as you don't make a nice opening. So one of the key elements of Shabbat and Yom Tov, what is mutar, is you can't make a petach yafeh. You can't make a nice opening. Making a nice petach is problematic. And that actually turns out to be probably the biggest problem with aluminum cans that are opened up. The way that you open up aluminum cans is that you do make a petach yafeh. You have an item that is sealed around, and then you have a top that's put on after it's filled. That top, when you puncture the hole in it, that's a totally new petach that did not exist before. And you're making actually a very nice petach. And that could be very problematic in terms of opening up cans. There is a tzad heter in the Igros Moshe. We'll discuss that in a second by Rav Moshe. Now, the other Gemara that is important is a Gemara in Eruvin that says that if one has his Eruv inside of a Migdal that's locked, then he can't get access to it and it's a problem. So all the Rishonim ask, why can't he get access to it? If he can break a barrel to get to the food, why can't he break the Migdal to get into the bread? How you resolve that stira has implications over here. Rashi in our Gemara in Shabbat tells us that the reason you can go ahead and break off the top of the kli and get to the wine inside of it or the grugar rot that are inside of it is because it's mekalkel. It's destructive. And mekalkel is not a problem on Shabbat. All the other Rishonim ask on Rashi, that's very nice. But mekalkel, you're right, is not a problem midoraito. But there's still a problem mekalkel midorabanan. There's still an isur derabanan. What happened to that isur derabanan? So many suggest for Rashi that Isur Drabanan is suspended here because it's for Tzorech Shabbat or Tzorech Yom Tov. It's Ochel, it's food. and for Tzarach Yom Tov and Tzarach Shabbat, we allow you then to break into it. Ah, that's the case. Then why, by the case of the Migdal, it has your bread in it for the Eruv, can't you break into it? It's food. It's Tzarach Shabbat. Why can't you break into it? So the Rishonim try to come up with solutions to the problem. Many of the Rishonim suggest there's a difference between a Kli Gadol and a Kli Katan, a large utensil and a small utensil. By small utensils, either they don't have a Shem Kli to them, that's one possibility, or they have a Shem Kli, and as opposed to a large Kli, which has a Shem Karkor, becomes more like Binyan and Stira. So the Rishonim have different variances or nuances on that, which is the difference between large Kelim or large items, which are problematic, and small items or small Kelim, which you can break. That's the way they differentiate between those two cases. On the other hand, Tosafot differentiates in a different way, and he says something. It's in the Tosafot here as well. It's a small Tosafot here, as well as in Shabbat, but has major implications l'alocha. He says that the Gemara over here said that the barrel they were talking about in that Mishnah was a mustaki. That was a not well-made barrel. So the Gemara said that in the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Along comes Tosafot and says that the Gemara needs that for the Shita of Rabbanan as well. It's not just in Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, because the Rabbanan have the same problem. The Rabbanan are oser bidiavad to make a kli on Shabbat. So even according to the Rabbanan, so fine, they don't say that it's oser midoraita, they still say it's potur al oser. So why do we take a risk and let you open up a barrel in that way? So the answer, and again, Tosafot says it's mustaki. Most of the Rishonim disagree with Tosafot, and they don't agree with his assessment, but it has large implications because the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tosafot. And therefore, Tosafot says the only time you're allowed to break open something is if it's mustaki, if it's this weak or not proper packaging. That's why the Migdal and Erevin is not allowed to be broken into. That's a full-fledged kli, a full-fledged item, and therefore you can't break into it. That's not the heter over here. The heter is only in a case where you have a kli ra'ua. That's one section of this. The next section of this is that the Gemara in Shabbat mentions, and it's especially true in the Yushalmi. Yushalmi says, calls it chotalot. Chotalot are these encasements of dates or fruits that totally surround them. They're totally locked into it. There the Gemara says you can rip them open to get access to it. In Yushalmi, it compares that case to our case from the Mishnah in Shabbat, where you're opening up a barrel, which obviously has ramifications. The Shulchan Aruch brings this to Halacha, and many of the Rishonim explain that those chotalot are similar to having shells around nuts, or peels around an orange. Just like by an orange, you'll have to take off the peel to get to the orange. By nuts, you'll have to crack open the shells to get to the nuts. So to hear by these chotalot, they're like the shell around the food, and you can break open that shell in order to access the food. What you have to answer now is, why is that the case here? And what's that relationship to a kli, like a barrel or a cask? So many suggest that the case here by the chotalot is that they are either a weaker covering, they're not really a kli, and that's why you can open them up. Whereas the barrel, the cask, is a real kli, and that's why it has a different din, where you have to be more careful, you can't just break it any way you want, you have to do it in a more careful manner. So now, once you've taken all these gemaras together, now let's start going through piece by piece. In instances where, again, when you have knots or wrappings around them that can be simply cut, and they unravel, that's totally permissible on Shabbat and Yom Tov. That's based on the Gemara in Beitzah. Other packages, like the ones that chips are found in, so those packages, when you open them up, they're made for one-time use. And since they're made for one-time use, and when you open them up, that's it. You take the item out, and it's done. Now, that might be true with certain types of packages versus other packages. Let's take, for instance, a chocolate bar or granola bar, where you open up, you rip open the package, and then that's it. You don't keep the item in the package, you take it out, and then you eat it. In that case, Rav Moshe says that's the equivalent of chotalot. Chotalot, according to Rav Moshe, is any item where you're not going to keep it afterwards. It's simply made for this item, and solely for this item. It will not be reused or utilized with any other item. It's made for this and only this. Therefore, when you open it up, you can eat the item, and you can rip it open, because it's like chotalot, and no problem. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach also agrees with that position. But in cases where you open up the package and then you eat from that package the item that's inside of it, then you discard the object or the packaging, in that case is a machloket. In Shmirat Shabbat Yochatar, Shlomo Zalman Arbach is not willing to be making that case, because then he says you're making it into a kli. You're making it into an item that you can utilize now, even though it's only going to be utilized for this object. On the other hand, Rav Moshe says that any wrapping or packaging that's made solely for one item, and when you finish that item, you won't use it again, that is not considered to be real packaging or real kli, and therefore you can open it. So even if you open up a bag of chips and eat from the bag, according to Rav Moshe, we say that it's fine, because that's the case of chotalot. On the other hand, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that's a kli now. If that's a kli, you can't utilize it on, or make it on, Yom Tov or Shabbat. So he says over there, he makes a suggestion that you shouldn't open it in a nice manner. You shouldn't open it in a way that is not a nice petach or not nice manner. And by doing so, you quasi-destroy the kli or make it so that it's not a nice petach. Similar to the case in Shabbat with the barrel of cast that you slice it open. So as long as you open up in a manner that is not nice, that is permitted. So he permits that in this case because it's like the barrel and you can cut it open. And based on that, it's fine. Maybe even a mustaki, maybe even a weak barrel. And that's what Moshe says about all these types of wrappings, that they're all mustaki because they're not permanent wrappings. They're only kept to keep the item in here. And then once the item's done, they're going to throw them out. So they're all these type of weak types of wrappings around the object. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says that about the ones that you keep it in it. The Chazon Ish, on the other hand, is machmir in both of those cases and has issues with opening up these types of packages. Now, any container like a tuna can and items like that that you're going to either utilize to keep the object inside of it, or they are much more solid kelim, by opening them you're going to make a petach or a nice petach for it, all of those are problematic on Shabbat and Yom Tov. Rav Shlomo Zalman is matir, and a lot of people are somech on this. If you destroy the kli while you're opening it, that it's fine. So for instance, you puncture a hole in one side and then you open up the other side so that you render it unusable, then you never made a petach yofe, and since you didn't make a petach yofe and you destroyed the kli, then it's permissible. Similar to the case in the Mishnah and Shabbat, where you slice open the top of the kli, we have no nice opening, and you render it useless at that point in time. So that's a kula that many people are somech on. Now, with regards to cans, we discussed cans earlier. The issue of cans is that petach yofe, and we said that according to most, that's problematic. It's probably the most problematic of any object open on Shabbat is a can, because clearly you're making a petach yofe. The only one, or the only person you possibly could argue this says that it's okay is maybe Rav Moshe over here would say it's okay, because Rav Moshe views any object that's used singularly to wrap one item, and then after that's discarded with that item, so therefore over here, when you open up the can, you're planning on discarding it anyway, so the issue of petach yofe doesn't matter, because you can rip it open, you can do whatever you want with it, and it's the equivalent of a shell over a nut, and it has no meaning. You possibly could say that in Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is clear in his tshuva that it really depends on the way people interact with these items in that Medina, in that country, in that locale, meaning that if people keep the drink in the can that they open up, and then they put it in their fridge, and they keep it to the next day, then that's clearly not something that's a mustaki or a weak item. On the other hand, if people throw them out or toss them out right away, then that would be considered to be something that is kotalot, or like the shells of a nut. So that's the only tzad heter there, but it's the most difficult thing, and probably the most problematic in terms of opening on Shabbat. The last thing is opening up bottles on Shabbat that have caps on the top. The key issue over there, and most of this has to do with how it's manufactured. It's very hard to tell without knowing how it was manufactured, is the bottle itself is not a problem. The bottle exists, and the liquid is filled into the bottle, so at that time you already have a kli, so you're not creating a kli. The only thing that's a question is the bottle cap. Are you creating a kli? So that depends on how the bottle cap is placed on. If the cap exists beforehand, and it's a kli, and then it's put on top of the bottle, then it's definitely not a problem to open it up, even if it's pressed down or it's tighter, because both of them existed as separate kelim before and then they were put together. On the other hand, if the bottle cap itself never existed as a kli independently beforehand, either because it was formed right on the bottle, never made into a kli beforehand, or because it was never separated from whatever object holds it tight to the bottle, and when you do that, you separate whatever is attached to the cap from the cap, making the cap now a kli, that is, it would be an issue on Shabbat. So the key element with opening up bottles, exactly that issue, is the question of if you are creating a kli, and most of that has to do with the question of how it is manufactured. And the Tzitz Eliezer has a long tshuva about this as well, about the differences between metal caps with plastic rings, plastic caps with plastic rings, but really, the truthfully, in the end, it really has to do with the manufacturing process, and you really have to know what it is in order to deal with that issue. But Shlomo Zalman again has a tzad het there where you puncture the cap and then open it up, because then you rendered it useless before you opened it up and made it into a kli, similar to what he says by tuna cans. Okay, we'll stop over here.